The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Well, that is a lot of Christmas. Holy shit. I mean, end of the year. Fuck it, let's go. Anyways, I think it's time to just let's fucking do it. Finale, baby. The extravaganza. Let's go. Wow. Okay. That enthusiasm just me solo.
No,
all right.
No, I got a Reese's tree in my mouth. That's my fucking extravaganza right now.
You are going to be chewing into the microphone. Oh, this is great. This is
Wait, can you hear me chewing?
Nah, you're good. You're good. I'm okay, just fucking with you. Anyways, hello. Hey, it's end of the year. Yay. You know, we got candy and I got water because I have been drinking too much this weekend. So let's do it. Mm. Hey, and James is dying. Hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And to them, I say, Cindy and Scott are newlyweds. Whoop-diddy-doo! Anyways.
It's not even wedding season, but
no, I know. Is there? Oh, yeah, it's like summer or whatever. Who gives a shit? I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. And with me is the very ill James Brizuela.
Yeah, not ill as in like the hip-hop sense. Like, I'm ill. Ill as in like I feel like I'm fucking dying, but hi.
Yeah, see, he's definitely the latter ill, for sure. And of course... you can't even see him. Here, look, I can fucking tell.
Fuck you say to me?
and then the shit talker over there just slinging Reese's Pieces everywhere is Alex Cordova.
Christmas trees.
Reese's, oh, these Christmas, Christmas trees. Okay. Right, dude. That's right, way Christmas better. Trees. Is that the fan going off now? Is that?
No, I don't got no fan. Probably. I'm sweating over here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, no, I'm talking with the laptop fan, baby. But anyways, it's fine. Nope. Anyways, so we are having our end of the year extravaganza. I went to the Game Awards, and while it was a very fun, nice little experience, you know, once in a lifetime thing, honestly, really, really cool. I think we can beat them. I think we can beat them with our own Game Awards that we're doing today, goddammit. So, but in order to start with these quick bits, we should probably talk about the actual Game Awards for a little bit. So you guys ready to start?
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Quick bits time. Still don't have a theme, but whatever. Hey. So the Game Awards, of course, as recently mentioned, have finally occurred. And of course, with a ton of trailers came a few controversies as well. Now, on the trailer front, we have reveals like a Sega remake trailer, which covers numerous old franchise revivals. That's fucking right. Monster Hunter 3 drop. Or what is it? Not Wilds? Was it? Monster Hunter Wild?
What the fuck? Monster Hunter Wilds, not 3.
I don't know who fucked that. Whatever.
Who wrote that?
That could have been me. OD drop from Kojima and Jordan Peele. That's quite a combo. Marvel's Blade, which is done by Arkane. And, of course, even the return of the Mana franchise. Thank you, Square. That actually looked kind of badass. Now, in terms of controversies, Christopher Judge did piss off the Call of Duty developers with his campaign joke and a more succinct speech, actually. But that succinct speech was also a controversy, as most of the developer winners were actually rushed off stage. And it was very obvious, even being there. There's a very big focus on, of course, trailers and reveals versus the actual accolades and, you know, awards this year of the Game Awards. So that seems to be the main controversies.
Are we going to talk about that, little summarize that stuff before we get into the quick bits, like the rest of it?
Or yeah, let's talk about it now. Let's just fucking, yeah. That's a lot right there. Now, let's just dive into the other Game Awards, the not as good ones. What do you guys got?
I just want to say I find it hilarious that the Call of Duty... Have you seen the insults that the Call of Duty developers were saying to Christopher Judge? It sounds like a Call of Duty lobby. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Metacritic score of 97. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like,
oh my God.
And these are the developers that are doing this, not the fans. Like, they're actual developers that says, oh, it's hard to hear from someone in a game that's in the low 90s, and we haven't dropped before below 95. And I'm like, you fucking kidding me, dude? God of War and Ragnarok are just shit on any Call of Duty.
Yeah, so you're going to compare yourself to God of War? Like, the prestige difference is insane. Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, yeah, same. I will say, though, having been there, though, the biggest pop of the entire night, like, everybody fucking lost it, was losing their shit, was that Sega remake trailer. Like, that shit, I don't know what happened. Everybody's like, what the fuck is that? Fucking Jet Grind Radio? Is that fucking... Like, everybody was confused. And then when Sega was like, 5 games, blah, 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 like, the whole room fucking lost it. It was a really, really cool moment.
I'm a huge Golden Axe fan, and that third-person quick look at it, I was like, fuck yeah. Ooh, right? Give me a third-person Golden Axe. Like, a new age Golden Axe, not... You know, the side-scrolling one. But, like, what it looked like for that quick moment, I was already sold. Like, I'm excited. I don't necessarily want them to go away from being, like, a hack-and-slash or a beat-em-up.
Yeah.
But if they did that with the arcade co-op feel of third-person, I think that would be amazing.
Dope.
So
I agree.
I'm all for that. And Crazy Taxi is just fun as hell.
Yeah.
So any way they can bring that back is fine.
I'm with you on that one. I think Crazy Taxi has a lot of opportunity to modernize, too. Like, there's lots of different things you can do with, like, mission structure and, like, songs and, like, other things like that. Like, I think there's the customization. Like, Crazy Taxi has a lot of potential. Golden Axe, though, I'm with you, though. I think having a 3D Golden Axe, like, that feels like a dream come true. Like, you've thought about it for a long time, and it's actually happening, which is insane. So, yeah, I'm with that.
That was for the Shinobi, dude, the side-scrolling. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Shinobi was great, too.
The PS2 version of the old school one was, like, super, super hard. But, like, that one that they showed during the Game Awards looked more 2.5 Metroid, Dread type of, which is, like, yeah, give me that with Shinobi, though, and I'm here for it.
Hey, you know, that's not a bad comparison. If they can Metroid Dread that franchise, I mean, Dread was a good fucking game. So, yeah, I'm with that. And Marvel's Blade, I mean, we didn't get any gameplay. And Arkane kind of fucked up with Redfall, and Microsoft has not been handling their new purchases very well. So
Arkane that's doing it?
Yeah.
God, no.
I mean, Dishonored and all those other games, like, those are fine. Those are great games, actually. It's just, I feel like they're losing their touch a little bit. So I'm hoping, you know, it's a return to form. Because Blade has a lot of potential, too. Like, just as a concept to me. Vampire Hunter.
They released some concept art after it, and it looks... I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the premise they said was, I don't know the time period, but they did say it's going to be like in a quarantine part of Paris.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Something like that. So It sounds like they're going a little Arkham City style with the whole like, oh, you're going to have a section of the map quarantined, and I guess. But yeah, it all comes down to the gameplay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, again, I think they can nail it, but it's if they're firing all cylinders, and they just haven't lately, so I don't know, we'll fucking see. And yeah, the Kojima thing, like, tore the house down. That shit was insane. But a little admission here, I missed the beginning of it because I had to take a piss.
Of course you did.
I walked out as I was like, oh, all these bullshit trailers are coming on, and I missed Kojima's entrance, and I only caught half of the fucking trailer. And then as I was walking through, I was standing in the aisle, and then the girl was like, into it, but she was like, oh, sir, you have to get back to your seat. I'm like, fucking man. As I'm walking through, I'm running through these fucking people. They're like, no, dude, don't worry about it. It's all good. And then my ass is like in front of somebody, and then Jordan Peele comes out, and everybody's like, oh, shit. I'm like, fucker, sit down. Yeah, it was a good time, though. that was another hype moment at the Game Awards as well. But yeah, it was pretty fucking cool, I gotta say. I mean, any other takes from the Game Awards?
I was just going to say real quick on the Blade thing. So I'm assuming that Arkane and Microsoft are trying to do...
What the fuck is that?
Sounds like Sorry, tape.
That was me.
God damn it.
Every time with this guy now, dude.
You're like...
can't do anything and just fucking making noise in the background.
He's like Frank and Always Sunny. He's like eating the sandwich while he's on the news and shit.
What was that?
Me and you were dumb special.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, James, please.
My bad.
As I was saying before, this guy made fucking more noise. I was just going to say Microsoft and Arkane are trying to do for Blade what they did for Spider-Man, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I don't think I don't know. I'm not excited.
I'm apprehensive, I would say.
Yeah,
there's potential, but I am apprehensive, I must say. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and one more Game Awards tidbit from being there live. It's long. If you're going to ever do it, just be prepared to sit in some uncomfortable seats for a long time. And we were with, like, you know, other gamers. And younger gamers have way more energy than my mid-30s ass. Like, it really... By, like, the two-hour mark, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm just sitting and enjoying now. Like, those were some good announcements, and these kids wouldn't shut the fuck up. They were just like, oh, there's that fucking Ronald Manners coming, oh my god. I was insane. So, just, you know, don't be afraid to leave. It's okay.
Well, hopefully it didn't smell like an E3 or a convention.
No, it was actually totally fine, except one motherfucker when we were waiting in line. Like, you know when somebody walks by, and it just like, the flies are dying behind them. Oh, like, it was bad. But he was not sat anywhere near us. It was great. So I don't know where that guy went. So yeah, that was a Game Awards experience.
My only 2 cents about the Kojima stuff is we were even talking about it in the text thread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped the trailer, and we don't know what the fuck is going on in those trailers. Like,
no,
who knows what kind of game he's fucking dropping? But you know, I guess we'll find out.
I mean, he described it as like it's gonna be a live service thing too, isn't it?
It's going to be like some real life thing or something?
No, yeah, I don't know if he said live service, but he did say it's something, it has something to do with, I don't know if it's going to be live action, like a series, like a TV show or something.
Yeah.
They did that on Netflix before, where they did like, it was like choose your own adventure type of thing.
Yeah, well, they did it with Quantum Break with, what's that fool's name? The fucking dude who played Iceman in X-Men Last Stand.
Oh, Sean Astin? No, that's not.
Sean something.
Yeah.
Astor or something like that. But yeah, he did it. He was in that game, and like, people said that it was a cool concept, but it was just the story. Like, you just didn't care for the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with Kojima, maybe he might be pushing it up to the next level. I don't know. But
I mean, maybe he's trying to refresh those PT concepts too, you know? Like, really make it. Boy. Yeah, make it something that, like, you really won't expect door by door. I don't know. I have no fucking idea. We'll find out in, like, 2 years. So, yeah.
Wait. So, before we move on, though, how was the awkwardness of giving fucking all these game creators and all these people only, like, 30 seconds, right?
Oh, we were getting pissed. Seconds? Everyone was like, dude, come on, let them fucking talk. Like, that was the vibe. Also, it's one thing to, you know, see it on the stream, but, like, the live and real-time cringe of the Game Awards is fucking hilarious. Like, it really, the energy just gets, like, sucked out of the room for a second, and then everybody's like, oh, okay, let's fucking clap again. It was, like, the Anthony Mackie part in particular, everybody was, like, just shouting. It was insane. It was weird. I would like the developers to have more time and maybe focus more on some of the awards and stuff, like not just run through them, like in lists.
It's weird. It's weird to me that they announced like best action game and they announced Armored Core 6 and then like that was it.
He just
went to the next one. He's like, oh, best mobile. And I'm like, how the fuck are you going to classify best action with best mobile and all that shit?
So yeah, that was weird too. We didn't like that. That wasn't that cool. But, you know, otherwise it was fine. You know, I would say if the awards were better this year, because I feel like this year wasn't as strong as, like, the last two, for sure. It would have been a different experience. Like, I would love to have been live for that fucking Smash Brothers reveal for Sephiroth. That would have been the shit. There wasn't a level announcement like that, it seemed. But, you know, it's fine. But, yeah, that's our Game Awards experience. And we're going to have even better, more focused awards for sure. And we're going to not list them out. We're going to give them fucking time. In like 30 minutes, we'll see. So, now of course, more quick bits here. Bungie is feeling the heat from Sony. That's right. If the next big Destiny 2 DLC does not deliver, many inside the company feel that Sony will take control of Bungie. Whew. Yeah. Okay. And to move on from there, we'll definitely have to touch back on that one because fuck them. But the day before. Wonderful scenario here. It actually reached 200k purchases, this early access game. And on its first day with those 200k purchases, it had 91k refunds, putting the developer out of business and becoming one of the most botched launches of all time. Cool. Now, Fortnite has expanded to Lego Fortnite.
I feel like that should have been a full story.
Yeah, I know, right? Honestly,
like,
those two...
Like, hey, it should have been, but it's
Remember that game that, like, everybody talked about for years on end? Well, it turns out it fucking sucked, and now it's dead. But we're just going to skip past that real quick.
Hey, in honor of the Game Awards, we're just going to be listing off these big things right now. That's how we're doing it.
Oh, my God. Hey, wait. Hey,
dude, I remember when they... Huh?
I was gonna say, just do like four.
And yeah, we'll and we'll talk about four, it. We'll talk we'll about it. That's four. What else. That's a good format right
sorry,
there.
I'm sorry, but this story was too good, and then you just jumped right into Fortnite. I was like, oh, all right.
I'll tell you what. Let's talk about these two stories, and because these other ones are smaller. These other ones are smaller.
We have to talk about this one more.
Please, James, the mic is yours, buddy. You just fucking go.
Oh, fuck me, right?
I'm sorry. It's such a good story, and I was like, I thought we were just going to stop and talk. You're like, and anyway, so Fortnite.
Anyways, Fortnite is taking more of your money.
Yeah. And speaking of successful games. Like the exact opposite story. No, please, James, please.
I'm sorry. Like, you hooked me in. I was like, oh, this is getting juicy. And like, Fortnite expanded. Okay, so I'm sorry, but we have to talk about
this. Yeah, please. Yes, absolutely.
So it was like E3 2018 or 2019, I believe.
In the before time, yes.
I think it was like 2020, dude. It was
okay,
was
so 2020. Ago, but, regardless, yeah. The day before it dropped, and it was a post-apocalyptic MMO. That's what they sold it as. It looked really good. Like, even just the game footage from the E3 video looked amazing. I was kind of upset because it was going to be a PC-only release, and I didn't have a PC at the time.
It looked like a mix between The Division and The Last of Us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looked incredible. Right? Yeah. And everybody was waiting for this game to come out. They did do the early access, which from what we know, was rife with issues already. Like, it was just like, there was a shit ton wrong with it. That got into the early access. So, lo and behold, it drops and gets hit with 91,000 refunds. That is fucking insane.
That's insane.
And then, the same day that it dropped, the developers came out and said that the company is bankrupt and they're done. It wasn't even fucking out for 24 hours and they were already done. Like, it's insane. Like, I want to know what happened exactly because none of us got to play it, but I don't, maybe, was it too buggy or does anybody know?
The footage looked bad, dude. It looked really bad.
Yeah, people are saying that it was a, like, almost a Ponzi scheme / fucking just like a money laundering thing because the CEO, the day that it launched, the CEO pretty much fell off the face of the earth. He deleted all his social media.
Jeez.
Like, all his online presence is gone. And then people, like, they were playing and they're like, wow, this shit really sucks. And then Steam has a policy about, I think you can play, if you play any game over 2 hours, you can't get a refund on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But people were so pissed at this game, the fact that they played it and they're like, okay, maybe it'll get better. And it didn't. That Steam actually reversed the policy and said, you know what? Yeah, we're going to give you guys your money back because, like James just said, the fucking entire company released a statement that said, it's much to our dismay that we're going to have to close. We spent all our money making the game, but we can't support it or fix it. So, bye, guys.
That's so crazy.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
And then there was one fucking, like, under that post on Twitter, I remember seeing this. I should have screenshotted it. But there was a post on Twitter, you know, where they posted the statement. And they were like, you know, we're sorry. Thank you for your guys' interest and blah, blah, blah. And what the top-rated comment said, how are you guys, how do you even call yourselves a game developer, right? And you release this, like, horrible trash. And the fucking actual person who runs the account for whatever, what is it called? No, it's not Avalanche. I forgot what the fucking company's called. But the person responds and just says, shit happens.
Oh.
That was it.
Wow.
He said, shit happens.
The developer was fantastic. Fantastic without an A.
Oh, my.
And it's really, like, it's really, you know.
Fantastic, really?
Yeah. It looked really good, but I was like, how is this going to be an MMO, like, survival game? When it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic in the sense that, like, are they going to have that many enemies running around? And then you as a player running around with other players. I don't know. It just sounded weird to me that they were selling it as that. I always figured it would eventually be like The Division, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a multiplayer game, but there's also a lot of, like, single-player stuff to do by yourself. But it's crazy. Like, for a game, it lived and died in one day.
It was like the Duff when they changed the formula, like alcohol free, And it's supposed to be put out of business in like a second.
Yeah, he's like, we'll be fine. 15 minutes later, they're out of business.
He's like, well, that's the end of me. Yeah,
I sent you guys the screenshot of fucking the interaction.
Oh no, there's no fucking way.
It's so good.
Oh Jesus. Oh, I didn't get it yet.
Like, how does this company? Like, does this company die? Are they done? Like,
yeah, they're done. Absolutely done. CEO has fucking disappeared. The, all the, like, you know, I haven't looked for any updated numbers on the refunds, but like I said, you know, Steam's usually very strict on their refund policy.
Yeah.
But they, even Steam was like, yeah, you know what, guys? Like, no one vetted this company or game, and we're sorry. We'll give you your money back.
Yeah, this is some money laundering shit right here. There's got to be some red tape here in the back that I don't know.
And what's crazy too is I remember that I mean, it wasn't just people, but like everyone in the gaming industry was like, there's no way that this game is real just because of how good it looked and the mechanics they were showing. It was like, if your car has a pop tire, then yeah, you have to go find supplies to fix it, right? And you know, the E3 game trailer made it look all super fucking cool, and you have to go raid a gas station and your buddy's behind you and all this shit. But even people were skeptical back then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the actual game that launched looks nothing like that at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you can release a jank game with great mechanics. Like, DayZ was jank as fuck, and people love that game. They love that game. Yeah.
Accusations of false advertisement and fantastic hiring unpaid labor.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
So that's this is crazy. Dude, even that shitty King Kong game that we talked about didn't even get a worse score than this game.
Oh yeah, IGN gave this a 1.
They won. Yeah, yes, yeah. They gave it a 1. They never give anything a 1. Nothing.
That, yeah, and that shitty King Kong game got like a 4.
Right? Yeah. And it lasted more than a day, you know? It had still, a week in the news. Play it. Yeah. You can still buy the game. It's still listed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is delisted from Steam and all that, dude. It's gone.
Oh, that's like, so crazy. Like, oh, my God, man. And then, like, I'm on the Wikipedia page just looking up at it. And then there's, like, the composer, Sigurd Jung Jensen. Like, imagine that person working for a long time on the score for this game, and then they'd be like, oh my god, my name's on this fucking shit.
They're like, listen, bro, you can actually keep the rights to the music. If you want to use it, like, sell it for something else, it's totally fine.
Dude, can you take my name off of everything? I just don't want to be involved. Yeah.
Speaking of composers, too, I don't know, did we talk about this? Maybe, I know, definitely not last episode, because I wasn't here, but the episode before when we talked about the Bungie layoffs, did we mention that Bungie pretty much laid off the guy who made all the Halo soundtracks?
That's right. I don't think we mentioned it, but I saw that story also. I was like, dude, that guy's like, he made the sound of Bungie for like their entire career.
Yeah, he made Halo, even the Destiny 1 soundtrack, like in Destiny 2, I think his name was Michael Salvatore, or it's with the S. I forgot the, I don't know off the top of my head, but so it came out recently that the reason that Bungie let go all those people that they did is the fact that I think we mentioned in our episode that they overestimated their, what was it called, their forecast by like $200,000 or something.
200, which, that's it?
It was an amazingly inflated number that they gave Sony, right?
I would imagine like 200 million.
Oh, no, I think it was, I don't think it was million, I think it was 1,000, but still, if you basically said we're going to sell 200K and you only get like 30 or 40K, like that's a...
Oh, yes, no, yeah units, that makes sense, okay, that makes way more sense.
So that was like, it recently came out that people are inside Bungie are saying that, you know, if we don't deliver on this next DLC, which is supposed to be the wrap-up chapter of Destiny 2 in a way, that Sony is going to take over because they're not getting their investment back from Bungie, right?
Mm.
And I guess Bungie's way of cutting costs was letting go of all those people like a month or two ago when we talked about it.
Damn.
But it's crazy that they let go that legendary composer, Michael Salvatore or whatever, and like homeboy is living his best life right now. Like he's doing updates on Twitter saying like, you know, he's telling the fans like,
somebody moving back there? What the hell's going on?
Oh, dude, I'm taking off my socks.
Oh, God damn it. You're like, such a good point. You're just like, by the way, in the microphone, fucking. Right.
There, you hear that?
Yeah, that's our listeners. Thank you. Sorry if you're in your car.
Lay still.
Oh, you're getting all hot about... Yeah, it's like, I'm getting so hot about this bunny shit, I'm going to take off my socks.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was saying... Fuen's about to take over fucking full control of the podcast, dude, if I don't deliver on this.
Yeah. Right, Bungie's like that fucking scene in Django. Is like, Miss you, Sony, I can't do this no more. Yeah, Sony's like, so, I only got 3 DLCs out of you, all right? I'm expecting 5 DLCs.
Pretty much, that's what's happening. And, you know, later we'll talk about the last quick bit that we had.
Yeah.
Bungie plays under that as well, but... Yeah, I don't know. I really think that Sony's gonna take them over just based on, you know, this year of playing Destiny 2 on and off.
It seems inevitable, to be honest with you. Yeah, it absolutely does. What do you think, James, on Bungie?
Still there? It is what it is. Okay. Shit happens.
I was gonna say, it is what it is. Shit happens.
Shit happens. What happens? Shit.
Shit happens sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. All right. Well, that was good. We covered that. Cordova's socks, I'm sure, are off by this point, I hope.
Fuck, now I'm scared to move. Like, my chair. God damn. I'm telling you, I'm gonna fucking fuck with my gain and just put the microphone right up to my face so that you guys have to hear. Like, that's the only time you can hear me.
You feel like the DJ from the Warriors fucking. Anyways. Yeah, back to Fortnite, apparently. Well, yep. You get Lego versions, Fortnite Festival, and Rocket Racing. Bam. All right. So, according to ex-developer, Rockstar also, stupidly, does not have the resources to launch simultaneously on PC when it comes to their upcoming major releases like GTA 6. Whatever. Starfield is also getting major updates in 2024, including an actual city map. What? New travel methods that have not been detailed, and mod support. Bethesda has also delayed the next-gen update for Fallout 4 to sometime in 2024.
So basically, Bethesda's like, all right, our game sucks, so we're going to allow mods so everybody else can fix it.
Dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, and also they're just like, oh, did you guys want, like, a map and, like, faster ways to move around planets? I guess. Like, come on. Like, this is pretty basic shit. And, of course, Fallout 4. I'm pretty sure they've delayed the Fallout 4 thing specifically because... they want people to keep playing Destiny, or not Destiny, Starfield, and also maybe time it with the Fallout show, I would imagine. That'd probably be a good move.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are going to take some Bethesda fucking right before we move on?
That's funny that they're trying to fix it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I got to say it, but, you know, it looks stupid, and it is stupid, so... Yeah. I mean.
Stupid is a stupid does.
And on the Rockstar shit, I feel like that there is some truth to that, though. Because if they're trying to go all out to make GTA 6, like, you know, the game that we've all been waiting fucking 10 plus years for, mm-hmm. I think it'd be very hard for them to fucking to sprinkle in a PC release right at launch.
Yeah, to kind of account for that development time and stuff.
Yeah, they want the consoles to be good, right? I mean, Rockstar doesn't really release shitty games. Yeah. So... I think consoles are there first and foremost, and then, you know, PC can come later, which it has with the last couple of GTAs.
Yeah, yeah, it's and usually then, worth the wait.
Yeah, and then the whole Fortnite thing, I put that in there because it is very interesting to me that I think that we talked about it throughout the year that Epic Games says they were losing money on Fortnite, right? So, like, they're laying people off, they're saying that they're not making money, and they're over here making literally 3 new games in Fortnite. And it's funny because I've seen what these games are, right? So Rocket Racing is basically Rocket League, but not the soccer version. It's racing.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was last year, it was probably before this podcast that we started, but maybe it was a year or two ago where Epic Games bought up Harmonix, or no, not Harmonix, the, Psyonix, is that their name? The guys who do Rocket League?
I can't remember. We definitely just didn't discuss it here.
Yeah, I think Epic bought them. And people were freaked out that Rocket League was going to go away, but it was because they wanted to use that mechanics in their racing game, right? So, guess what? You can buy cars now just like you can buy fucking characters, so that's even more money from us.
Batmobile Lego time.
Lego Fortnite is like the Fortnite version of Minecraft, but it's with the Lego characters, which I'm really amazed that Lego gave them that licensing, because, yeah, it's not a Battle Royale version of it. It's a survival crafting mode. Yeah, it's like you make a world and all your buddies can join and you craft things, but they're all Legos. Like, it's official Legos.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have some Star Wars skins, and so the cool thing is that whatever skins you have that are compatible that have a Lego version, you have that unlocked in the game now. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to buy them again.
Okay.
So I have, yeah, I have a little Lego Boba Fett just running around in there. It's kind of fun. And then Fortnite Festival, a little tidbit on that. There is a prop. I don't know if it was, what's that fucking Logitech or what's that, PDP?
Wasn't Fortnite Festival the one where you're allowed to use your Guitar Hero?
So that's the thing, right? Right now, you can only use your controller to do... It's basically Fortnite Guitar Hero. They have stupid tracks in there. But I think later in 2024, there is an official accessory manufacturer that's going to start releasing guitars and drums and mics and all that shit again.
Oh, so we get Rock Band time, huh?
Well...
Weren't they going to revive it? Somebody was reviving it, weren't they?
Yeah,
EA was going to revive it, wasn't they?
Oh, well, yeah. That's the thing. I think that Fortnite Epic heard about that or whatever, and they got the ball rolling. And sure enough, these motherfuckers have a free rotating playlist that you can play. But again, if you want to play whatever song you want, you have to buy it. So, yeah, they're getting ahead of the game here, buds. But, yeah.
Yeah, I like how they're like, we're making no money off Fortnite. We're also spending a lot. We're spending a lot. We're going to spend a lot, but, you know, we're not really that profitable. Like, come on, guy. We know what kind of money you make, all
right? Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, Fortnite is not any... It's not just a battle royale anymore. It's literally four different games in one now, which is kind of crazy.
It's going to become a hub of different game experiences.
I was just going to say that. They're turning it into, like, just a media hub where you can go do... Yeah. Because, like, they already started that when they were doing the Fortnite concerts where you can go watch a concert in Fortnite or whatever the fuck. Yep. So it's like they started it with that, and it just sounds like they're going to keep... adding more shit to it to make it to get that money if they're still losing money on it or whatever.
Yep, they're gonna do Fortnite Pokemon. I'm telling you, gotta catch them all. Gonna be all different looking weird, like slightly different creatures, like, you know, like maybe a regular turtle, like Forkamon. No, they get the Digimon license. They're like, fuck it, just copy the gameplay, it's fine.
Ew.
I know, I agree. Anyways, well, that was interesting.
Yeah, let's do the last four.
Yeah, we'll do the last ones here. All right, speaking of delays, back to the Fallout, sorry, but whatever. Spider-Man 2's New Game Plus mode has also been delayed now to 2024. There you go. Ooh, and speaking of Insomniac, hackers have breached and released the developer's data along with some Wolverine info. Small drops for now, but more will be released sometime, actually this week, most likely, if Sony does not pay the ransom money, which is in the millions. So, oof.
Jeez.
And alas, speaking of cancellations and deadness, I'm going to flip these, actually. since we're talking about Sony still, Naughty Dog officially cancels its Last of Us multiplayer game, throwing in some shade at Sony wanting it to be a live service, and declares it will stick to making single-player games. Big old middle finger there. And who's not going to have any games is the ESA, because E3 is finally fucking dead. ESA is shutting down, and the decades-long trade show is, alas, no more. And, you know, weirdly, after I made that abortion joke about the ESA, I feel very bad about that now.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. All right, what you guys got to say about this? Well, we really hit it with the bad news in the last part, didn't we?
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, ransom, hackers.
when I saw the ransom thing, I just got a fucking flashback to the fucking rush, or the nihilist walking into fucking the dude's house. Somebody's in the bathtub. They just drop a marmot in the fucking bathtub with the nice Insomniac. Marmot, man. Nice marmot.
Jesus.
Oh, but yeah, that's crazy. I haven't seen any of these leaks. I've just seen alleged concept art where it just shows like a behind the back
God
of War looking camera, which, I mean, it's blurry as hell, but if they're going to make like a God of War type Wolverine game, like, yeah.
I'm
here for that.
Yeah. I'll hype me early. I'm good.
Yeah. The Spider-Man 2 New Game Plus is a little bit of a letdown, but I'm sure Insomniac's just kind of probably, you know, quality testing it to make sure it's like good, and
that they're dealing with a lot right now, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and then then the okay, so the multiplayer Last of Us game, right? We've talked about this like the last fucking 6 months of the year. Like we've had a new little rumor here and there. And honestly, I mean, you know, we've talked about this, about how, like, it's like, okay, if it comes, it comes. And if it doesn't, then big deal. Like, and yeah.
Yeah, we've been seeing the writing on the wall for, like, the past few months for sure.
Yeah. So I'm not really sad about it. I even had more of a like, relief when Naughty Dog's statement straight up said that because if they wanted it to be a live service game, aka battle passes, aka seasons and all that shit, mm-hmm. that it would take away from the development of the next Last of Us game, which is, you know it's coming.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, maybe a new Uncharted game or whatever game they're gonna do next, it would take away from that. And Naughty Dog's repertoire the past two console generations is single player games. So
yeah, that's what people buy Naughty Dog games for. And you know, and also buy consoles and PCs that cannot update consistently during the podcast and run the games. That's what? Oh, I hear that. Yeah,
I heard that.
It's okay. Just digging around. But yeah, no. To me, like, this seems really counter to Naughty Dog's philosophy. And I don't think, I think their fans and people who buy it, like, Sony games, can see through that for sure. So yeah, what about you, James? What you got to say? Huh?
I mean, E3 dying and Last of Us multiplayer dying is not surprising. I figured that was going to happen. I'm just bummed that Spider-Man 2 New Game Plus is not going to happen until 2024. That sucks. I want to play it.
Yeah, I mean, you can play it again in 2024,
you know? Yeah, I mean, you know.
You got other games.
That's true. I do have other games.
Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, I mean, hacker's gonna hack, man. Like, what are you gonna do about this shit? You give in, they're gonna keep asking more stuff. So, yeah. You know, there's really not much you can do on this. Sorry, Sony. Like, your stuff's in somebody's hands now. So, hopefully you can get the law on them before shit gets too out of hand. But yeah, that was our quick bits. Not as quick as they normally are, but it's fine. Because it's a special episode, and also they were a lot more dreary. But
The
dreariness is over. All right, that's done. No more dreariness. Now it's happy good times, because we are at our end of the year extravaganza. That's right. We got some of our own much better, more focused awards to hand out. So Jeff Keighley, you know, sorry, bro, we're taking over. So with that, we're gonna start up top here with, and we're not gonna say our winner yet. We'll save that for the end. But our own personal game of the year nominees. Now, mine are pretty simple. For me, I picked three: Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Resident Evil 4 Remake, and of course, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. You'll get your fucking chance, all right?
You'll get your chance.
You'll all get your chance. Take it away, James.
Mine is also Resident Evil 4 Remake. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, no, Jedi, yes?
Yes? No, Jedi Survivor, Spider-Man 2, and then Tears of the Kingdom for sure.
Yeah, well, good list too. Good list too. What's your Cordova?
Exactly the same thing James said, even though I had mine in there like fucking a week before, but it's fine.
You're like, I'm not saying he peeked at my shit.
My bad. Yeah. Apparently, I can't play and enjoy the same game. So let me just, off the top of my head, I'll go with Hotline Miami, because I barely played it.
Hello Kitty Adventures, for
Hello
sure.
Hello Kitty Adventure, for sure.
Yeah.
And then Avatar, Pandora, whatever the fuck that game is called, because I played
fucking
10 minutes of it.
Pandora, fuck you, Dad. Fuck you.
All right. And of course, from here on, we're going to say our own personal winners for these nominees. Now, I think we all have the same winner for this one, but I'm going to go ahead and just say, you know what? Actually, who wants to read this one?
Say what it is first and then say the nominees, right?
All right. Most out of touch CEO, according to the NPC Gaming Podcast, three nominees. And then I'm just going to do it in reverse. We got Strauss Zelnick,
who is the Take-Two CEO.
Take-Two CEO, that's right.
Who made comments about that games should be priced per minute or per hour.
Yeah, per time you play.
Yeah. Basically, he's trying to squeeze a lot of money out of people.
Yeah.
Yep. And of course, we got our other boy, David Zaslav from the WB. And he's actually fucked up industries between film and games. So that's pretty impressive. So, and very, very impressive, actually. But I think the most impressive has to be our boy, Bobby Kotick, who oversaw the merger of course, Microsoft and Activision, and has overseen the abuse of a lot of employees over the past decade. and some very questionable decisions that have affected how games are played and monetized. So... I got my winner. Who do you guys got your winner? What's your winner, Cordova?
I'm going to go actually David Zaslav, dude, because of his push that we talked about a couple episodes ago of wanting all these WB properties to become live service yet again. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the Arkham series does not in any way, shape, or form need to be a live service game.
No, you know, I'm actually, that's a very good choice, I think, for most out-of-touch CEO, for sure. Yeah. How about you, James?
I have to agree. I'm going to go with David Zaslav because of working at ITM and having to cover a lot of his shit
mm-hmm.
over with HBO and everything. It extends past games. He, of the three, he's been fucking games up and he's been fucking movies and TV up, and he canceled Batgirl, and I will never forgive him for doing so because it looked amazing. So, yeah, I think he's the most out-of-touch CEO.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. From WB sweeping the two, but I'm still going to go with my boy Bobby Kotick because honestly, the precedent set that a lot of these people do, exploiting fans and of their labor and all this stuff, you know, our boy Kotick, he walked so Zaslav can run in this industry, I think. So it's to honor over a decade of just bullshitness, I'm going to give it to our boy. So, you know, he's got the Legacy Award for me for most out-of-touch CEO. But, hey, close race. As far as I know, close race. And then Strauss Zelnick, I mean, same shit. He's the same. Like, you know, whatever. He's not as funny as the other two.
Yeah, that was a pretty dumb fucking thing he made, though. About, let's charge him per minute.
Yeah, and you know, like, given the opportunity, he'd fucking do it. Like, he actually, he totally would.
It's funny though because people were turning that around and be like, "All right, so if I beat a game in 4 hours, I only got to pay $20. Fuck yeah, do it. Mm-hmm. See what happens."
Yeah, dude, that's right. I'll speed run. That's the speed run community's fucking motivation right there, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, these guys were all supported by clearly questionable headlines in a year full of them. So, what is our individual most absurd headline of 2023? And I'm not even putting nominees here. I got mine. Nintendo shareholder meeting disrupted by, quote, ranting Splatoon 3 fan. That's when a fan spent $3,500 on stock to go to a board meeting to vent about the lack of boy customization options in Splatoon 3 and actually had to be interrupted by Nintendo's own president and told, "Your question's going too long and it's not making any sense." That's just dumb. That's just dumb and absurd. I think it fits the absurd model here, and that's my winner. What's your winner, James?
My winner is a more recent one, just because I think we all have to agree that this is one of the most stupidest things I've ever
heard. That's really fucking absurd, yeah.
And it's Machine Gun Kelly saying that there's going to be a huge problem if he's not picked to play Link in the live-action Legend of Zelda movie.
Oh my gosh. Machine Gun Kelly, bro? Nah.
Yeah, that's... No. Nobody in the right mind of cinema wants that to happen or would even fucking consider that to happen. So,
yeah.
Stop it right now. You're an idiot.
There you go. Yeah. Even like some of the mock-ups people are doing, I'm like, there's no way they can actually salvage this. This is not a possibility. Yeah. But hey, there you go. What about you, Cordova?
Mine is your boy over there, Fwen's boy, Bobby Kotick,
making
60 times more than Nintendo CEO.
Oh, yeah. That one.
That's just crazy because, I mean, you know, like I said, Bobby Kotick over there. Like, what the fuck has he done besides just make headlines for all the wrong reasons? And he's making 60 times more the Nintendo CEO who's actually given us good games, you know?
That's why he's a lot more out of touch, yeah. Because he's 60 times less closer to the people. Yeah, so that makes sense. Okay, no, I'm with that. Honestly, all stellar fucked up headlines for sure. And dumb in their own absurd ways. So, you know, and we got, you know, we'll see what 2024's absurd headlines will bring. But yeah, some crazy ones. So, and now we're coming to, a couple good awards here. So, biggest surprise, and this doesn't have to be like monumental or whatever it is, very personal for me, but like my biggest surprise this year and something that like really like was just awesome. It was definitely the Metroid Prime Remaster Shadow Drop. And the fact that, not that it was just released that same day, it was released at a very reasonable price and it fucking rocked. It was a way better remaster than it had any right to be that anybody expected. And to me, like, that's what gaming's all about, is giving you these weird, holy shit, is that happening kind of moments, and it delivering on all fronts. And so, with that, my biggest surprise and ultimate delivery is, very early on in the year, too, the Metroid Prime Remaster Shadow Drop. It wins for me. So, James, how about you?
Mine is kind of similar, but it's basically this Nintendo just coming out with amazing remakes.
Yeah.
The Metroid Prime remake, and then also Super Mario RPG, which is outstanding. Mm-hmm. And then also the announcement that we're going to be getting Thousand Year Door soon. I mean, they joined the remake game, and I think they've killed it so far, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do next year. But the remakes that they've released so far have been outstanding, so yeah.
Yeah, and if you're a Pikmin fan, apparently the Pikmin 1 and 2 remakes are also fucking insane. So
I'm not a fan, but like, there you go.
Yeah, another example right there. So way to keep giving us all the good shit. You know, I'm with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about you?
Mine is going to be it's a late edition in the year, but
oh yeah,
the fact that the God of War Ragnarok DLC Valhalla that just came out like a week or two ago, that is absolutely 100% free, because this shit is like not what I was expecting at all, mm-hmm. and the general consensus around the internet is that people were like, how is Sony going to be bitching about money when we would give them $20 for this type of shit? Like, this is what we want, right? Like, yeah, it's free, but this is what we want. We don't want battle passes. We don't want fucking, you know, half-assed multiplayer. Like, we want a DLC that expands on the story, which this does.
Really?
And the fact that it's, like, just good gameplay, like, it doesn't add anything crazy, but it takes what was already in Ragnarok and just, like, kind of does something new with it, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's when I'm not going to lie, when I saw that it was, you know, that it was being announced and it was free, I was just expecting, like, one of those modes that's just like, oh, yeah, here, you guys can keep playing this on and on. Like,
do some Ubisoft right? shit, you know? Some Ubisoft yeah, shit, like, yeah.
Yeah, you can just pretty much, you get in, you play, there might be, like, some things to unlock. But no, there's a whole fucking storyline here. Like, a full-on story that ties into the end of Ragnarok even more. So, yeah, I was really surprised that this was free. So
yeah, way to go, Santa Monica, right?
Yep, Sony Santa Monica Studios.
Oh, shit, all right. Well, you know, if I see one of those motherfuckers on the west side, I will shake their hand. That was a good move.
Are you talking about the west side?
Are you talking about the west side? No, Kiki, you scared me. good references today. All right. Now to go back to the negativity, we have a fun one, a very fun one. Our biggest disappointment of the year. Definitely, yeah. And it's going to be different than a fail, because I think a fail is a lot like a bigger thing. But disappointment is just generally something you were looking forward to, and it being, you know, obviously not up to expectations. And mine's a very clear one. It's Starfield. It's absolutely Starfield. And honestly, whatever, as I referenced up top, whatever Microsoft's doing with these studios that it recently purchased, none of them have hit, like, at all. Like, they got Activision, released the worst Call of Duty. They got Arcane, Redfall. And then they got Bethesda. And Bethesda's already been working on this, obviously. But yeah, Starfield just, you know, I wanted it to be way more than it was. And unfortunately, the worst thing your game can be is uninteresting. And it stopped being interesting after like 2 hours. So yeah, I've been told it changes and there's a lot more later on, blah, blah, blah. But if you can't keep me, if I have to play 14 hours to like get to the meat of your game, I'm an adult. I ain't got time for that shit. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah, sorry. Starfield, you're headlining an overall disappointment with Microsoft's current output. So, that's me. Congratulations, you won the award. So, James, how about you?
Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is my biggest disappointment. They started off on the wrong foot by releasing the cinematic trailer, which everybody was like, okay, we don't want to fucking see this. We want to see gameplay. Then they finally released gameplay, and it looked decent. But then the announcement that it was going to be a live service game killed it, killed the excitement. And then they finally released more footage of it at the Game Awards. And it just does not look good. Yeah. This is really upsetting because Rocksteady hit home runs with the Arkham trilogy, and this does not feel like it's going to be that at all. It feels devoid of all what made the Arkham trilogy special, and it's honestly really disappointing because this game could have been really amazing, but they're allowing the studio brass to kind of push them around, or the investors to push them around, and to kill what could have been probably another great, great single-player game.
Yeah, yeah, this is a... We're going to go back to Zaslav on here. I see your guys' point now.
Yeah.
This is a Zaslav fucking move.
Yeah, it is.
100%.
It looks like shit, so...
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, that one hurt a little bit, too. Oh, what about you, Cordova?
Mine's the same as yours, Starfield. Mm-hmm. You know, like... The thing for me is the fact that they doubled down on the whole, like, yeah, we're going to keep it 30 frames per second. It's like, I don't know. Like, a shooter in 30 frames in 2023 is, yeah, it just doesn't feel good. I don't know. Like, the gunplay was cool, but I just kept, like, whenever I played it, I was just like, oh, like, I just don't like this. Like,
yeah, it didn't feel right. Something felt wrong about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
I know what you're doing, and I don't like it.
Well, especially because actually we didn't even talk about this anywhere before, but like a big surprise too was Cyberpunk doing a total fucking like a turnaround, right? Yep. And Starfield came out around the same time that Cyberpunk was like really, really dropping these big updates, and you know. When I jumped back into Cyberpunk, it felt good. 60 frames per second on the Xbox, you know, Series X. And it just didn't feel right to me to be jumping from Cyberpunk, which is like a little bit more high octane action, into Starfield. And it's like slow. And I'm just like, ew, yeah, I don't like that at all. So that was it for me. Like, I don't care. You'd have to have an amazing ass story for me to play a 30 frames per second game nowadays. And it's just like, yeah, it's not, that wasn't it. And the other disappointment I had was that PlayStation Plus hike, the price hike, about how, you know, they tried to justify it and all this shit. But, you know, it being, I haven't got charged because I think I'm paid through like June of 2024. But like, just from what I've seen, there's nothing that really has justified it. Like, for normal base PlayStation Plus users, like. Yeah, if you give me an option, keep your fucking free games. Just give me online, and I'll pay.
Yeah,
like $60. Like, I don't give a shit about the free games. Like, really, I just want to be able to play online. And you know, it's kind of bullshit that they're like, oh, if you want all these perks, you need to be online. Okay, we'll make it affordable, not fucking raise the price of it. So
now they already suckered a lot of people into getting used to it. So like, gotcha, bitch. Like, that's that seems to be the motivation here. Like, we can, they'll take it. Seems to be the mantra. So yeah. Those are some very good disappointment selections. So again, congratulations to the winners, Microsoft, Bethesda, you know, enjoy your prize. And Sony, maybe next year, huh? We'll try something again. But on a much more positive note, the gaming industry-wide win of the year. Not the game itself, but, you know, generally speaking here, an industry win. It's something they did good that deserves accolades and recognition. And I gotta say, this is the best year for remakes and remasters ever. This is awesome. My definitely would be, I mean, I got Resident Evil 4 Remake, my second favorite game of all time. And that it surpasses the original, I would say. Again, Mario RPG, fucking fantastic.
Dead Space Remake,
that's right, which we got for $8, stupid Microsoft and EA. Game Pass, baby. And then, of course, obviously, Metroid Prime, like I mentioned before, one of my biggest surprises of the year. But, like, this seems to be a time... And then, of course, announcements for great ones coming up that get you real hyped. This is old games have never been more accessible thanks to emulation, but if you want to play in a modern context, it looks like the developers are going out of their way to make that happen too, and this year proves that they can be successful and they can still be fun. So hey, you know what, remakes and remasters, you are win the industry for 2023 for me. All right, James, what you got?
What do I got? Honestly, to go and to add on to what Alex was saying about Cyberpunk, I feel the industry is finally starting to learn, or rather they're leaning more into the fact that if they give fans really good free DLC, they will keep coming back and buying games. So like Cyberpunk completely changed its makeup and added the way that the cops react to you. They added the skill tree changes. They added the gameplay, the gunplay changes, all for free as DLC. And God of War gave us this amazing additional story DLC for free. Like, I feel games are starting to do this more. And like, you know, the bar, speaking of the Arkham trilogy, people can now play as the Robert Pattinson
Batman. That's right. That's
and
right.
And it's just free. So it's like, I feel like more of that's starting to happen instead of like, obviously there's the studios are still going to be trying to do charges up the ass for like live service bullshit. But at the same time, I think the smarter studios are going, you know what? Because these people give us this money and keep coming back to play our games, we're going to reward them and give them free DLC because they fucking deserve it. Because without them, we would be nothing. So yeah. Shout out to those developers for doing so, because it's, I feel like this has been also one of the strongest years for like free DLC, and it's been great so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? When that happens, that they move up to the top of the backlog. They're still in the backlog, but I'm much more heavily considering playing them when they do shit like this.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. No, I'm with that. That's a good one. All right. And Cordova, what you got?
Shit, my win is just the sheer amount of fucking good games we had this year, man. Like we've already talked about Cyberpunk, Dead Space, Resident Evil 4 remake, fucking Spider-Man 2. Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Wonder, Tears of the Kingdom. We haven't even talked about Armored Core 6, the fucking Final Fantasy 16.
Final Fantasy 16, that's right, yeah.
I finally got around to start playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nintendo had another big drop or two. What did they have?
Yeah, Pikmin 4 was another big one for them too. Fire Emblem Engage was another one as well. Yeah, and then
yeah, and just like, you know, Horizon Forbidden West. I haven't even got to fucking play that, and that came out like literally a week before or after Tears of the Kingdom, and it's like, it's just there.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
And it's been trickling so, all throughout the year, too, which is insane.
Yeah. Fucking, you know, Mortal Kombat 1, even with the DLC shenanigans of it and the pricing, it's still a good fucking fighting game. Street Fighter 6, we haven't even, you know, talked about because we're not big Street Fighter fans, but... Mm-hmm.
Hi-Fi Rush, surprise of the year, also for me, too. Great, indie game.
That. Yeah, I downloaded that on Game Pass recently, and I haven't even got to play it yet.
Yeah, because there's too much good shit.
There's just, a crazy amount of fucking games this year. And, you know, some of them, if you're able to get them on sale, they just sit in the backlog and eventually they'll get to them. But, it's just been crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking Diablo 4, we haven't even talked about. Like,
yeah, Diablo 4, yep.
Wait, Advance Wars 1 and 2 was also this year too, wasn't it?
Yep, Motherfucker.
What the fuck? Man,
there's so many, it's crazy.
I don't have this much time. This is the busiest year of my life, and all this gold is just like at our fingertips. It's amazing. Wow.
No, so, that's gold. My win.
I love gold. Oh, that's funny.
Fucking Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jedi Survivor, dude. Fuck, dude. Yeah, seriously, there's been banger after banger this year, and we haven't had the money or time for all of it.
No, absolutely not. No, again, I'm making the most money I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm like spending it on like extra fucking expensive chips and shit. Like, I want gaming time and expenses for this. Yeah, it's a great year. Great, great year for gaming. Honestly, up there with like 98, 2001, all these banner fucking years that are just, you know, something else. That's a good industry win. All right. But, you know, you can't have the rise without the fall either. So... what is our industry fail of the year? And I got two. These two I had a hard time picking. But Microsoft Generation Game Plan leak. Holy shit, did you guys drop the ball? Not just that you leaked out your entire early plan going into this new generation. It's also that the leak itself was kind of mid. this, you know, the stuff is like, oh, cool, you're going to remake Fallout 3, and it's probably going to be exclusive, and you're going to try another Doom game, but nobody knows if it even still exists anymore. And, like, you've got a refresh of your console, and you're going to remove that 4K Blu-ray drive. Like, you're doing all these things that make no... Like, they seem like you just throwing shit at a wall. And it was not more evident than seeing their actual years-long game plan. That I know has been adjusted, but if that was their base, like, come on. That's not a good business plan to me. And it doesn't make me want to stay purchasing Xbox systems. Like, I have, like, loads of games. That's why I keep the console, because, honestly, my library is awesome. But, you know, I will gladly move to a new library if all you're giving me is a game I played, like, 15 years ago again. So, yeah, I'm not with it. I mean, if you're going to remake it, fine. Obviously, I love myself a good remake or so, but you got to give me a little bit of both. I got Metroid Prime and fucking Tears of the Kingdom this year, all right? I got options. If your my only option is to play Fallout 3 again, nah, I'm good. So, yeah. And also, equally as bad, Embracer Group. Not only have all the things, like the businesses they've been shutting down, all these longtime developers like Gearbox and Free Radical, and these people that made our childhoods and our adulthoods with great software, all at risk because they just mismanaged their shit. And I missed one, but today also, they had an anonymous developer from Free Radical leak details about Time Splitters 4. And these motherfuckers wanted to make it a live service game. They wanted to copy Fortnite. Yeah.
Saw that today.
Mm-hmm. And then the team ended up having to pitch themselves into an actual traditional game again. But these are the kind of loops that these really creative people that you purchased, you know, you're not relying on their strengths. So, yeah, Embracer Group, and they're suffering for it, and so are we as gamers. So, two big fails for me. Enjoy your award. So, James, how about you?
Mine is the thing that I've been complaining about for months on end, and that's just the pure hype behind Starfield. I feel that with Bethesda just talking about how this was going to be like the genre-defining game and not delivering is just really stupid on their end. You know, they kept jamming it down everybody's throats, and obviously did not, you know, it didn't fail. It failed. It failed on every single aspect of it. And so, yeah, shut up.
I agree. I'm with it. Yeah. Another Microsoft L. So yeah. There we go. How about you, Cordova?
Just the layoffs. Like, this year was a record banner year for gaming, and yet they still were over there just letting people go.
Yeah.
Just pays basically because the money, the game after launch was just like, now they can get the money, right? And they don't have to keep paying these people. But what they don't really understand is the fact that, like, if you keep the core together, and this, I'm not in game development or anything, but to me, it just seems like it kind of applies to different types of jobs, right? If you keep the game, the core, like, people together, you can just keep doing good things, you know, like you never really hear about these crazy layoffs of 600 people at Naughty Dog or at Santa Monica Studio or Insomniac, right? Yeah, they let some people go, but not fucking 600 people like Bungie did.
Yes.
Or, you know, that fucking, what was the other one, the big one, Epic let go like 800 people, right? So it's like, you know,
Ubisoft too, they had some big ones also.
So that's just, it just sucks for them, you know.
Yeah, they create the good software, and they're like, oh, well, your reward is, you know, maybe try to figure out how to pay your rent some other way.
Yeah.
All right, that's a big fail, I would agree. So those are some major downsides, but we're not going to keep it down, all right? We're gonna go back up, because now is the time for our own game of the year. Woo, we fucking did it. So I'll kick off my game. All right. Well, for me, my game of the year, this is actually a really tough one for me to call it, but I'm actually going to go with Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I was very close actually to Resident Evil 4. I really was, but
I'm glad you didn't pick that one though.
Yeah. Well, to me, Zelda has this longevity to it. And at the end of the day, like, it's a game that I will be playing for years upon years upon years. And it's just fucking brilliant. I will stop playing, come back like weeks later, and just get lost. And sometimes I need to get lost. And to me, like, if you can reuse the map and make it somehow feel very, very different, and make me still curious to explore. And also the mechanics are super fucking creative. Like, it is one of those, like, near perfect games for me. And it's just a lot of competition this year. It was tough. But yeah, I would definitely say game of the year for me over here is Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Congratulations, yay! James, what you got?
It's gotta be Spider-Man 2. You know, regardless of IGN giving it an 8 and, you know, them complaining that they didn't do anything that much differently, I feel Spider-Man 2 has arguably one of the best stories ever written in a video game. It was incredible from start to finish, and I can't wait to see what they do next within that franchise itself and just Insomniac overall. They've just been hitting home runs, and yeah, Spider-Man 2, the story is fucking incredible, and I highly recommend it to anybody and everybody. Get yourself a PlayStation, play Spider-Man, play Miles Morales, and then play Spider-Man 2. You will not be disappointed. It was so good.
All right, I'm telling you, once I pay that tax, motherfucker, all right, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. But I am getting Spider-Man 1. I'm getting Spider-Man 1, though.
Don't do what Phil did. Just play him all the way through the right way, and yeah, it's fucking incredible.
All right. That's a good pick. And, you know, one of the few Game of the Year awards is actually won, apparently, because it was too goddamn stacked this year.
Yeah.
How about you, Cordova? Game of the year.
I'm very torn between these two. Like, I almost want to flip a coin, but...
Flip a coin. Fuck it.
James about everything about Spider-Man 2, but, like, Jedi Survivor is, like, right there. At least for me. Like, those are my top two most played games this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jedi Survivor, I was at 32 hours, and Spider-Man 2, I believe, was, like, at 28. So, like, yeah, spent a lot of time with them, but it's just, like, so torn.
It's like picking one of your kids, I know. You just... But if you had to pick one kid...
just for the sake of being a little different, I'm going to go Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Just because the story is up there as well. I remember there comes a story beat that happens, and I just, like, I had to keep playing the game. And, like, I think I was at the same part where James was, and then I got to the story beat. Oh, no, that was Spider-Man 2, I'm sorry. But, you know, James told me about this part in Jedi Survivor, and I get to it. And then the next thing you know, I text him about something towards the end, and he's like, fuck, you were playing this whole time? I was like, oh, yeah. I just fucking sat down and just, like 3 hours
straight.
Yeah,
he leapfrogged me because I got it, like, day of, and then I beat most of it. And I was telling him about, like, I was like, there's one part, like, when you get to it. And then he's like, oh, I got to that part. And I was like, oh, right on. And then literally, like, the next day, he's like, yeah, I beat it. I was like, oh, shit.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, so yeah. I'm going Star Wars. I mean, I got to give some love to the Star Wars, but trust me, fucking Spider-Man 2 is right there for me too. Like, the story is great. The fucking gameplay was great. My only like real critique of Spider-Man 2 that it's really being amplified to me that I'm going back and playing the Arkham series on my Steam Deck is the fact that, like, they really should have did what Batman did in the fact that, like, putting his villains as, like, side missions, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some of the lesser villains, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
If Insomniac can do that in Spider-Man 3 and give you those side missions where you take down or give little missions about his lesser-known villains and shit, like, then it'll be on Arkham's level. But I feel like throughout the whole series, that's what Arkham has over Spider-Man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the Arkham series, everything feels more immersive. You feel like you're in Gotham because you're constantly dealing with all of those side villains. Like, I think it was Arkham, I think it was the second one when, like, the opening you fight Deadshot and he just comes out of nowhere, right?
That was Origins, but in City, Origins. As you're in the city, though, like, there's little, you can just randomly find a clue and the next thing you know, you're going to fight Hush or something, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
You're looking for Hush and shit like that, so that's what I mean, like, when Spider-Man, like, the side missions don't add to the, like, rogue gallery. Yeah. They're just, like, kind of, like, oh, go do this mission, or this guy's like, oh, someone beat me up, and Spider-Man goes and gives him a lecture. Like, I get it, that's Spider-Man's story, or his character, but, like, give us some fucking more villains. Like, sprinkle in some lesser-known villains, like, fucking...
Yeah.
you know,
they do that, but I feel like it's lessened because they do more of a focus on the bigger villains. Like they make those an integral part of the story, but they don't sprinkle them in like and just give you like those puzzles, like
all the Riddler stuff and all that.
Yeah, but the Riddler is obviously a lot bigger, but we don't want to ruin anything. But they give you like little smaller missions, and all of a sudden you're toe to toe with another Batman villain. They don't do that as much in the Spider-Man games.
Yeah, yeah. Arkham games give a lot of meat to these side missions, I think.
Yeah.
It creates for like, oh, I'm having a whole experience right now. Like that's good.
I would have also agreed with Alex on Jedi Survivor winning Game of the Year, but because of the issues with like the crashes and all that, that's why it didn't win for me. Mm-hmm. That's something that shouldn't have happened at that stage for me, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, again, something to take into account for sure. Yeah. And yeah, and Zelda was on all of our lists. It just won mine, which is good. Good mark for good game. I say good game.
Oh, it's a great game. Yeah. It's great. It's still great.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, that's our game of the year 2023. Yay. But we're almost done here because we have to talk a little bit about what we're expecting coming up in 2024 before we get out of here. So we got one major prediction, or some major predictions between each of us here. I'm going to stick to my Nintendo focus because that's apparently what I do. So to me, the Switch 2 is going to be a big story, big thing for 2024, obviously. My prediction is I don't think it's going to fly off the shelves as much as the Switch 1 did, because that was a big phenomenon. And I think that's specifically because I don't know if they're going to have a Breath of the Wild style like system seller. I think their Mario game's probably going to be very good. It's probably going to be amazing, actually, especially if they do the same model they did in Bowser's Fury, which is fucking phenomenal, and turn that into like a real media experience. But to me, like, it's going to be basically the difference between the DS and the 3DS. You're going to see that distinction between, like, the 3DS is still an amazing system, obviously better than the one before it, but it didn't have the same impact because it didn't feel as new as the DS did. And that's going to be the big thing Nintendo's going to have to contend with, because it also is going to have competition with the Steam Deck and, you know, this big rise in handhelds. So I think it's going to be a harder launch than Nintendo was used to, but that doesn't mean bad. I think they're really going to pull out all the stops. They're going to use the Switch model of every month a new big thing, because those first 7 months or so of having a Switch was insane. A big release every month for a while, which is very cool. And I think, yeah, you're going to get like a Metroid Prime 4, probably a new Fire Emblem, all this stuff that the people want. It's just going to be in a more crowded space. So that's my prediction for 2024. James, what you got?
I feel that another conference is going to come up and replace E3. I think they're going to do something that's going to kind of bring more of the fan base into it. They already do showcases now, like PlayStation does their own and Microsoft does their own and studios do their own. But I feel like they can combine that either into a grander style and do it demo only, where they have like what EA Play used to do, where they would have a big demo area for people to play all the new games. I feel like they're going to do something like that. They might do it all by themselves. Like it might just be a Microsoft one and a PlayStation one or Sony one, excuse me. But I feel they could combine forces to do that as well, but I feel something is going to pop up that's going to replace E3, but it's not going to be on the level that E3 was.
Yeah, probably something more gamer focused, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that there's a market for that, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Cordova, what you got?
Mine is, I think, hopefully, that this whole games as a live service, fucking battle pass bullshit is finally going to hopefully get toned down. You know, every game, every franchise cannot be Fortnite. So just let Fortnite be Fortnite. I mean, you know, hopefully they just, like, you know, let them just do their thing. And if your game's good, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, we don't need a Suicide Squad game that is Battle Pass oriented. I'm not going to play it fucking 5 years from now. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. if it's shitty, you know. Just because it has a battle pass and I can unlock things, doesn't mean I'm going to be playing it. So just make a game like Naughty Dog pretty much told Sony, we make single player games. That's what we're gonna do. So,
yeah. I think that's a good prediction.
I hope that more developers and shit take that cue.
I think we're gonna see a couple the day befores happen again, and that's gonna be kind of like what gives people the indication, like maybe this model isn't for everyone. So I predict more failures. And for sure, changing of priorities. But you know, those failures are also very fun to talk about. So we're gonna talk about every time that happens in 2024, which I'm sure is gonna be at least a couple. So yeah, and that's our end of the year episode, ladies and gentlemen. is there anything else you guys want to tell the fans before we bounce?
I'm sorry for moving so much throughout the year, guys. I'm really gonna work on my game.
You gotta stop pointing the mic at your dick, dude. You gotta stop pointing at your dick and scratching all the fucking time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll say. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah. yeah. Anything from you, James?
Kotick.
Okay. Oh yeah. I hope we see Bobby Kotick back in some form because I really like to make fun of him. So that'd be great.
that's all I got.
I'm sorry. Well, I really want to see Bobby Kotick back in some form. Should have done it that way. Anyways, that has been our end of the year episode. This has been the NPC Gaming Podcast. We will see you in January of 2024. This, of course, has been a production of the Horrible People's Network, where a slew of shows are available for your listening pleasure. I am also on the Horrible People's Podcast, as HORRORBLE People's Podcast. So catch me talking about scary movies all the time and talking a lot of shit like this one. So, and of course, James, where can people find you?
You can also find me on the Horrible People's Network. I play in a live play D&D podcast called the Turning Tables Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Turning Tables Pod and on the Horrible People's Network Instagram. So go give us a listen.
That's right. And then Cordova, how you doing? You good?
Yeah, no, I'm good. You can just find me here.
There you go. That's it. All right. And of course, in January, we will be doing a gaming episode. So you probably hear these motherfuckers on there, too.
Yeah, you can hear me there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully with not so much noise.
Yeah, no, we'll see. We'll try to do it in person, but it's going to be kind of boozy. You're going to hear a lot of drink slamming. Anyways, thank you, everyone, and we will see you next year. Peace.
Later.